Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson,
and I'm Eric Payne.
And today we're going to be jumping right into things, you know, because the fact that there's a whole lot of things going on, right, Eric?
That's right.
I tell you, there's a Newark Film Black Film Festival, and they are doing the whole festival in tribute to Gus Henningberg, everyone. And that first reception was last week. So, and that is going to be going on every single Wednesday until, I think, about the 31st of July. So you may, those of you who are in the Newark area, you may want to be aware of that. Also, not only that, you know, we were going to do an update with Brian King, you know, mm-hmm. Sonny Sutherland's lawyer. We want to hear what's happening with Sonny. I've not been yet some, see, he, meaning Brian, has, you know, some interesting information for us. So we also want to talk about voters' rights. You know, good Lord, are we going to be able to talk to the Congressman Donald Payne Jr. later
on? Well, hopefully we will be able to get him on. I know he has a busy day. There's a lot of going on down there with the Supreme Court doing their thing, voting rights, making it more difficult for black people to maintain the right to vote. Mm-hmm. And just like they said immediately, a lot of these states like Texas and all of these other states started putting in their voter ID laws.
Yeah.
So there, clearly there's an agenda that certain individuals have as it relates to trying to cut down on people's ability to vote.
On certain people. That's absolutely right.
Right. And just the fact that you have these very conservative justices who have an agenda. Their agenda is certainly Alito, Roberts, Thomas, Scalia, clearly their agenda is to cut out the right to vote. People to vote.
That's right.
And they have a political agenda. They're not just Supreme Court justices. Clearly, it's clear that they have a political agenda.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is an attack. Black people and a lot of people fought for the right for people to vote and be able to vote.
This is a direct insult on our history, as a matter of fact, because, you know, we fought so hard for the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to be really very aware of what's going on. I want people to really, you know, get involved.
That's
you know,
right.
Get involved with your political, you know, setup in your particular city, state, or wherever. You've got to find out what the issues are and what's going to be going on. For instance, here at Kay Thompson Live, what we're doing is we do news, information, education from all over, globally.
Mm-hmm.
So to keep you informed, and we're going to be doing that also. You know, I've almost missed this. I didn't really miss it, but I wasn't going to mention it at the top of the show. But the Trayvon Martin case,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were watching that earlier today.
Yeah, the legal profession is an interesting profession.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever go in a courtroom and you notice that you can't speak for yourself,
mm-hmm.
you have to be recognized by the judge. You have to have a mouthpiece, a lawyer. And I'm convinced that it's like anything else, it's an industry.
Mm-hmm.
An industry where you have to be a member of the club and where you have to know the language. And that's why reasonable people can go in and answer simple charges against themselves because you don't speak the language. You're not a part of their club.
Yeah.
And it's just really kind of ridiculous that when you listening to the parts of the testimony where the defense is trying to trip up the young girl and
19-year-old
and establish that she might not be telling the truth. The issue is, really, the bottom line is that she wouldn't even be there if this individual didn't murder Trayvon Martin.
That's, right.
That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And there is evidence of him calling the police several times. Every time he saw a suspicious-looking person who, just every time he called, that suspicious-looking person turned out to be African-American. And
I'm talking about
George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed to have established a pattern. And the bottom line is that he was told not to engage this particular suspicious-looking person this one night. And he chose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he stalked the teenager, Trayvon, engaged him. And then somehow the teenager ends up dead.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no two ways about it as far as I'm concerned. And just the fact that they attempted to make sure that no African Americans were on the jury.
All women.
One person who is a minority of nondescript.
They say a black Latina. That's the way she was described.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have an agenda. And the fact that the man was never charged for about a month after doing that, there's an agenda by individuals in this company, in this country. So many people came to his defense. You know, this country is becoming not the same old America that a lot of these people that are used to.
Yeah.
So what happens now is that they're trying to control a growing majority population.
That's so
And
right.
these actions that they take are just ways that they try to flex, so to speak, flex their power, and they try to fight back because they know that they're no longer those of them that are used to America being a certain way. They know that they're no longer the majority, so they fight back against
yeah.
that. And it starts with the Trayvon Martin case and so many people coming out defending him, and it goes to the Voting Rights Act. So there's an agenda that they have.
Absolutely. And so we all have to be aware of that, especially with the voting rights thing.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot allow the history to be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we fought long and hard for the voting rights. Remember the things that were happening, that were happening,
right.
things happening in Florida at one time with, you know, all this finagling with the voting and with standing in line and causing all kinds of things for people to be uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
To keep them from voting. But we have the right to vote. We're going to vote, and it's going to, you know, continue. And now that I think the Republican Party is leading this whole thing, that's a negative thing about the government, they're leading this by, you know, putting up all these barriers
mm-hmm.
and causing these things to happen. That's going to take all, not only our voting rights, but other rights also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have to really be very much aware and be prepared to call, you know, your congressman, your district leaders, anybody involved in politics. We really have to become more aware of what's going on, and you know, for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are now in the majority in this country. Black and brown people are in the majority of this country, and that seems to rub some people the wrong way. Well, that's too bad.
Well, we're fast.
But the point is,
we're the majority yet.
Well,
but
this is what they're saying.
Maybe the claim is that we're fast approaching
yeah.
that. It might already be the majority. It's just that a lot of people are undocumented in the census.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't answer the census. I wouldn't be surprised.
And the idea is to get people to work and live together.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact that we have much more important things to worry about. Look
okay.
at global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We may all not be here in years to mm-hmm. come.
And it appears that we might have a phone call.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, we have to go for a break in just about 10 minutes. I think we're okay.
Okay,
right
we
now.
Have a phone call there, though.
Yeah, we're waiting for Brian King
well, that
to
might
give
be
us
him.
An update on
that
Sunny
might be
Sutherland.
Because we have a call right there
okay.
On the screen. So, caller, are you with us?
Yes, hello? This is Brian King.
Here's Hi, Brian. Give us an update on Sunny Sutherland's case, please.
Okay, I heard we were about to go to break. Should I wait till we come back, or should I just try to just belt it out?
10 minutes. So
yeah.
go ahead, knock yourself out, brother. Tell us, give us an update on.
Okay, so we convinced the jury. Actually, the jury believed Sonny and the kids,
and
the children.
Just give a short synopsis of what this is all about. In about
okay.
2 minutes, so the people can catch up with where we are. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so Sutherland v. Wu. That's Sonny Sutherland Senior versus a guy named Timothy Wu. Timothy Wu was an ACS worker for the city of New York. In June of 1997, Mr. Wu came into Mr. Sutherland's home and removed his children in the middle of the night without any cause, any justification. After that, the children did not return for the earliest return was 7 years later of any child. Mr. Sutherland sued that caseworker, Mr. Wu, and it finally went to trial. That was June 3rd, was the day we picked the jury and we went to trial.
Mm-hmm.
I had entered my appearance about on April 30th, just a little over 30 days before the trial. We tried the case, and the jury, they came to a consensus, but the judge threw out their verdict after the jury had only deliberated 2.5 days. The judge threw out the verdict. Hello?
You're talking about recently. What was the consensus?
The jurors, we talked to the jurors after they were thrown out of the courtroom, and we talked to several of them, and they said that they had reached the conclusion that Mr. Wu was, in fact, liable for violation of the children's constitutional rights,
mm-hmm.
and that the proper amount of damages was $150 million for compensatory damages and $150 million for punitive damages. That's $50 million for each plaintiff,
mm-hmm.
Sutherland, and five of the children. for plaintiffs in the case. But one juror apparently said he had a religious objection to passing judgment on people, and so the judge, on the basis of that one juror's dissent, the judge declared a mistrial, which was erroneous because the city, that is the defense representing Mr. Wu, had agreed before trial to a verdict by a jury of less than six members. There were seven jurors total. One was an alternate. When that one juror decided he could not pass judgment, the judge was supposed to remove him from the jury and let the other six decide. But the judge didn't do that. He panicked and threw them out of the courtroom, threw the verdict out.
You know, Brian, we have to really bring people up to date on this. This is a case of Sonny Sutherland, a family being taken out of his home and put into foster care for a number of years, and finally Sonny got his family back, and this is where he is now. Now, what was happening with this foster care worker, I understand, he was the one who, you know, had the children removed from the home illegally.
That's right. He kidnapped him.
And then you, Brian, came into the case, and that's where we are. I just wanted to bring people up to date.
Well, where we are now is the decision.
Yeah.
Is the decision. And
well,
so
again,
what happened?
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Brian.
Oh, you want to know what happens next? Well, Mr. Sutherland, who I represent, and it's just that I represented the children, too, because there were some problems with their attorney, and so I ended up making a closing argument and asking the jury for the amount that the jury ended up giving, the $300 million. Mm-hmm. So what's happening next is Mr. Sutherland has authorized me to take certain remedial steps to go back and recover the verdict and to take care of some legal matters. And he's authorized me to do a number of things to remediate the situation. However, he's not authorized me to share publicly what those things are, and there's a number of reasons for that. There's a lot of interest in the case, not only publicly but just locally. People are interested in what's going to happen next. But Mr. Sutherland has asked me to keep that confidential. But there are steps being taken to correct matters as they stand right now.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. So that's what I wanted to hear, that Brian is going to be taking care of these matters for Sonny and for the children. Eric?
I was going to ask, now that the judge threw the case out, when the jury awarded this money, what can you appeal that decision? What happens after that?
Well, there are a number of ways of addressing that, and that's kind of what I was getting to earlier. The means of addressing it, you could appeal it, you could do a lot of things. The fact is, the method that we're going to use to address it, or the methods, and a lot of it's already in place, I can't disclose right now. But once I do it, it'll be quite obvious, and everybody say, oh, that's how they handled that. But I'm not able to handle it right now because so many people are paying attention, and it would actually affect the effectiveness of what we're trying to do if people knew in advance what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're right. Your instincts are correct. When the judge makes an error of that magnitude, an appeal is certainly in place. If it comes to that, then that's what we'll do. But we're not at that stage yet to where we need to even use that option.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be keeping you and keeping the public up to date. You know, so every week, you know, you're going to have to, you know, give us an up to date, you know, on Sonny.
I'm happy to do it.
You know, and the children and you, and I know you're working really very hard, and we wish you all the luck in the world. As a matter of fact, whatever you want us to do, you know, just let us know, even if it's putting out on the air that people should mobilize and go down to a court.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're prepared to do that, right, Aaron?
Brian, while we have you on the line, mm-hmm. I just want to get your opinion about the decision yesterday by the Supreme Court to vote down a section of the Voting Rights Act that really kick it back down Congress.
I didn't watch that one as closely, the affirmative action decision. And so whatever the blogosphere is saying about the voting rights decision, I would tend to defer to them because I didn't follow it. I did follow the affirmative action case, and I can tell you that whatever the blogosphere is saying, if they're not telling you that was a win for affirmative action, then they're being somewhat disingenuous. The Supreme Court actually upheld its Grutter decision, which is what which conservatives and the plaintiff in the affirmative action case yesterday was trying to attack. So Grutter is still intact.
Just let me give you, yesterday's decision was where they threw out a section of the Voting Rights Act to say, I think it was Section 5 or 4, where they said that these states that had a history of a discrimination against minority voters could not change the systems of voting and how they did things as it affects the vote. And the Voting Rights Act, as you know, that was passed in 65. And so the Supreme Court, this case was brought by, I believe, Shelby County, Alabama.
Okay.
They challenged some results. And so what happened was the Supreme Court struck down that this part of the Voting Rights Act doesn't apply anymore, and they kicked it down to Congress, if I'm correct in assessing it, kicked it down to Congress to rewrite basically a new law, because their contention is that America is not the same place, and a lot of these areas are not as racist as they are, I suppose, and they don't, perhaps some of them don't practice maybe overt discrimination, but, you know, when you talk about making people wait 8 hours in line to vote.
Yeah, absolutely.
That seems to be, to me, a lot of discrimination. So it was a serious blow to the Voting Rights Act and all the things that people died for and fought for.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway.
Well, thanks for updating me on that. You know, I'm not as quick to offer an analysis on what the implications of a decision would be, because I think a lot of times it's hard to know, like, based on you got to take into account who brought the case, what they were bringing it for, what their goal was, and then you have to look at the grand scheme of things and what other things can be done to, you know, go ahead and further the rights that supposedly were truncated in the decision. And so, you know, I never look at it as, oh, this in the world. I look at it like, okay, we have to go with option B or something like that. But admittedly, I'm uninformed about that decision because, you know, I can tell you right now, I haven't followed the voting rights. That's probably the only area of law that I have never followed very closely. And that's, you know, I should start, apparently.
Right, that might be the time, huh? Gotta do it. Okay, Brian, listen, we will talk to you again next week. Is that okay?
Yes, I look forward to it. Thank you all again for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you,
tell
Brian.
Tell Sonny, you know, we'll be hanging in there with him.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Come back, everyone.
Right.
We'll be going for a break in just about another minute or two, but we want you to take down the phone number so that you can call in and give us your opinion about what's going on. You know, it's particularly, Eric, in the Trayvon Martin case. We want to hear what people have to say about
that.
Right,
we definitely want to hear your opinions about that. I put on Facebook the other day, I sent to some people a link about, and I noticed this a while ago, that I thought that it was I noticed the weight gain that Zimmerman had from the time that he was charged with the crime to now. And before he was playing the cop and he was all in shape, and now he's gained a substantial amount of weight. And I thought that, knowing how these people work, I felt that it might have been something that was intentional.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe it's just stress.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's something that's intentional to make him look a little bit more sympathetic, like he wouldn't be the aggressor in a situation like that, and perhaps was really fighting for his life and self and defending himself. And I wanted to know what other people thought about that. Some people responded. But if you're out there, call us and let us know what you think about that case and also the Voting Rights Act and also today's decision about gay rights and people being able to get married, which was a victory for gay Americans. We'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. And the number for you to call in, remember we said that we were going to have people call in and let's discuss a few things. We're going to give you a voice. I remember when I was on WLIB, we had a hot topic segment, open phones at the top of the show. So the number for you to call, everyone, is 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906. One more time, 323-679-0906. Call. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Trayvon Martin case. This is going to be a time for a break right now, and then I might as well mention our sponsor, On the Move Sounds. On the Move Sounds, inspired by Mamiya Abu-Jamal. Mamiya Abu-Jamal, you may know, is a journalist who was arrested some years ago for something that he did not do. Okay? So, also, if you want to make a donation here at GoPro Radio Network, all you have to do is go to the home page of GoPro Radio and click the donate button on the home page and make a donation.
And make you say that your donation is to also help through the Kay Thompson Show, as well as our other shows on the GoPro Radio Network. We'll be
right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Hi, I'm Nina Markow. I'll be ringing up your purchase today. My associate Shauna Glover will bag your item.
Hey there.
Hey, nice to meet both of you. Let's see, pork rinds, grape soda, genetically modified strawberries.
Yeah.
No me gusta. Okay, I don't want to offend you or anything, but none of this stuff is good for you.
It can't be that bad.
You're practically digging your grave with your teeth.
Thanks.
But don't worry, there are healthier choices that are just as delicious. You can try some dried kale instead of potato chips.
Or even actual grape juice in the place of the purple liquid cavities.
Right.
Also organic fruit instead of the GMOs.
You guys have some good ideas, but how do you know so much about good eating? Sean and I host the brand new talk show, Food Wrap, every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the GoPro Radio Network.
Yeah, it's the brand new radio show that's all about good eating. Nina and I will take you on a delicious journey through the latest trends and traditions in alternative eating from the everyday person's perspective.
Wait a minute, I heard about that show, Food Wrap, on the GoPro Radio Network, right?
Yep, it's the perfect weekly digest for anyone looking to beef up on food facts and share their own discoveries.
All right, that's it. I'm putting all this junk back and I'm making better choices. And the first choice I'm making is to tune into Food Wrap every week from now on. That's every Saturday at 3 p.m. on the GoPro Radio Network.
At www.goproradio.com.
Where talk never tasted so good.
Okay, we are back. And what is that, Food Wrap? Now I got hungry, you know, all of a sudden. And I'm going to have to come here on a Saturday to get some of this good food for this and from this new talk show with Shauna Glover. And I know.
Are they cooking? I didn't know. Are you guys going to be cooking the food here while you're on the radio?
We need a head to pop up there in the control room. Mm. So what's the answer there? Yes, Shauna's saying yes. Yeah, we got to have some good food. But also, you know, Eric, I wanted to let people know that they can call in right now because what we want to do is we want to generate conversations. Particularly, I want to hear what you have to say about the Trayvon Martin case. I was watching that case as long as it was on today. And they had the young lady who was 19 years old, you know, and then with that story about Trayvon had, she was calling him when he, you know, had this run-in, when he died.
Right.
You know, at the hands of Zimmerman.
Right.
Okay. And so it was really very interesting. They kept her on for so long, it was several hours.
Yeah. It was clear that they were trying to trip her up and try to establish that she was not truthful.
Yeah.
And what gets me is that you have some of these commentators, these lawyers or whatever, and they talk about, you know, this establishes that she's not a credible person and this and that. Well, when I looked at it, and if you look at it, this is why you can't really listen to these people. You have to look and judge for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at it, I saw a young woman who was upset about her friend being killed.
Right.
I saw a young woman who was frustrated by having to answer these idiotic questions by a very condescending guy, the same guy who told a knock-knock joke at the murder trial of a young black man. So that tells me that you're trying to joke around, based around the death of someone, that you have no compassion. You have a certain perspective about life. You have a certain perspective about black people. I'm going to say that. And the fact that this girl wasn't going to allow him to push him around, and you heard some of the people say, you know, try to establish that she might have a temper or she might have an outburst or whatever. You know, African Americans, we have a different set of a different perspective about things sometimes. You know, when someone tries to be aggressive, and they always are surprised, certainly individuals like that. I'm talking about Don West.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals like that, those type of lawyers, when they get someone who pushes back, then they try to establish that person's out of control or that person, you know, they try to put these labels on these people. And the bottom line is that a kid is dead.
Absolutely.
This guy is sitting here, a wannabe cop, didn't need to pursue him. He hunted him down. And now the kid, they told him on the phone, now the young man is not alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not here to talk about him. He's not here to defend himself. And the one person who probably can give you the most accurate assessment about what happened, they try to attack her. And she didn't tell the truth about a few things. Okay. But
she had reasons for doing that and reasons that we may understand, but other people don't.
Right.
You know, she wanted to protect Trayvon's mother.
And you can see
the reason why. You know, so she told the story that she went to the hospital because she wasn't going to tell them that, you know, she heard that he was dead.
Right. So, different cultural different cultures have different outlooks about things.
Yeah.
And we know that in the United States, there's been an image presented and built about black people.
And so
as long as the ones that have been telling this story, this lie about black people, continue to be able to tell the story and the lie about black people, they're going to assess it, and they're going to tell it the way they want to tell it,
and
his
then,
story.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called his story.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's another thing, that stand your ground law, you know, should be thrown out, should have been thrown out a long time ago, because you have a number of people, you know, there who have been beating blacks, Latinos, who have been involved in killings there in Florida, because we have been reading this. And, you know, it's we've got to stand up and be counted. You know, that's the only thing.
I don't have a problem with stand your ground just as long as they apply it the same way.
Yeah.
I heard that shortly after that there was a African-American woman who was being abused, I believe, by her husband.
Mm.
And in order to protect herself, she ended up killing him. I believe that happened about a month or several weeks. And she got sentenced to jail. Tried to use the same defense and had to go to jail. So there's clearly still a double standard in the United States. Clearly there's still efforts by certain individuals to keep black people down.
The prison business is exactly that, a business.
It's a business. So they want to keep people going to jail. So, you know, these
and giving them longer sentences than would be necessary, but mainly directed at black, you know, the black and Latino people, period.
Part of the double standard.
And this is not to say that some people don't belong in jail, but the point is, if they were treated equally, even in jail, you know.
Well, just the fact that you don't have any African Americans on the jury because they kind of feel that they might be prejudicial. The onus is not on people who come up in a society that has oppressed them for hundreds of years. The onus is on the society to change. So if you don't want people to be on that jury that you've been oppressing, that are relatives or descendants of the people that you oppressed, it's on you to change the system.
Absolutely.
It's not on those persons to prove that they're impartial. It's on you to prove that your system is no longer racist, that your system is no longer oppressive.
That's true.
And, you know, if I would ask the listeners to forgive me if I sound a little passionate, but, you know, I'm about tired of this, living 53 years on this earth, having to deal with the same thing. And, you know, someday there might come a day when people aren't going to be so talkative about it, for lack of a better word, or people aren't going to be so understanding. There might come a day when the Old Testament comes back and chickens come home to roost, when an eye for an eye becomes necessary. Where some people look at it that way. Not that I'm saying that, but, you know, some people might look at it that way. And, you know, some people need to decide, what type of world do we want to live in? Do we want to try to all get along in peace and love, or do we don't, or don't we?
And the number for you to call right now, everyone, is 323-679-0906. Let's hear from you. 323-679-0906. And before we go on with the, you know, that story and a couple of others, Eric, you know, I want to tell people that we're going to be making available very shortly, you know, some of the shows that I've done.
Right.
And some of the shows that Gus has done, because Gus and I had started, you know, together. When did we start? It was about a couple of years ago now.
Right.
Would that be it? Yeah. And
well, you started doing this about a year ago now, as I remember.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of shows, and he had a lot of shows that are available that are of historical significance that a lot of people might find interesting. Certainly, there are a lot of times in history when you and Tawana Brawley case is one that comes to mind. When Nelson Mandela, shortly after he was freed and he came to the United States, you were there as well. So there are a lot of historical elements that people would do well to learn about them, because if you don't know your history,
for instance, you don't
know where you're going. So,
for instance, down in Newark right now, this is one of the days for the Black Film Festival. Every Wednesday now for, I think, through July.
End of July. Yeah, every Wednesday at Newark Museum, you should go check it out. A great film festival, the Newark Black Film Festival.
And right now, what's being shown right now at the film festival is Gus interviewing Adam Clayton Powell. Okay, which is a fascinating interview, and that was when he was on Positive with Black.
Right.
And then, you know, we're going to make available some of these. And then Third World Information Exchange, when I was on TV3, I did an interview with Gus So that is going to be made available, the conversation with Kay, me, and Gus.
Well, there's an interesting interview that you did with Gus Henningberg and Gil Noble.
Yes.
Two of the I can say giants of Like It Is and Positively Black, and you interviewed both of them, and those were shows that many
that
of us
be made available.
Who grew up in the tri-state area here, young African-American people growing up, those were the public affairs shows for black people, and they addressed issues for black people. So that was a really good interview.
And that show with Gil and Gus, that was during the time that Reverend Jesse Jackson was running for the presidency.
Right.
And he had just made, during that time, the Hymietown remark.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was a big thing. But that was done on New Jersey press conference when I was working for, Canal Corp and DC at Channel 47. And then we have the case of Ronald Brooks. Do you remember that? You know, he was paraplegic, was in jail and who had been shot by the police for something. I forget what it was. I'll have to review that myself. That's going to be made available. And he, there was a minister who took his case on. And he ended up paralyzed, and they put him in isolation, even though he was paralyzed by the shooting with the police officer. And he couldn't move from his neck down.
Mm.
Anyway, I had him on the air, and I told him that if he would let people, do their physical therapy on him and stop, driving people crazy, because he did. He was 7 feet tall, as far as I was concerned, because he didn't take no for an answer.
He wasn't physically 7 feet tall,
but
as far as you're concerned.
That's right. He was something. But that was really a good story, because the fact that the community, our community, I was on WIB, during that time, and our community listening to me, I said, if you get your therapy, Ronald, you let him give you your therapy, you can come in and be on WIB.
Mm-hmm.
And he, cooperated with everyone.
Right.
And finally, because they had gotten him out of jail through this, one white minister. And finally, he was able to come into WLIB.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people who helped him was Russell Bomar, who provided him with clothes. Gus Henningberg, who provided him with a car.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the other person? No, what was the other person's name? Reverend Al Sharpton,
mm-hmm.
who provided him with, he got clothes, for Tawana Brolin.
Right.
So, but that was a fascinating, that story is going to be made available, and that was at TV3. And then there's another one, South African Viewpoint. That's an interview that I did with a Professor Brutus, who was a South African exile.
Mm-hmm.
He had been in jail, with Nelson Mandela, and of course,
Right. And also while your interviews with Wyatt T. Walker, as well as
Dr.
Ben.
Yeah, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark.
Dr. Clark, so these
Dr. Van Sertimer and Dr. Len Gunther, all on one show.
And these are great African American historians that certainly anyone would benefit from listening to those interviews.
Yeah, we want to tell people that our sponsor is On the Move Sounds, inspired by Momia Abu Jamal. Also, we want you to go to the homepage and click on the donate button on the homepage, okay? And see if you can donate for, GoPro Radio.
In support of the Kate Thompson Live Show.
Uh-huh.
And, it's time for us to, everybody out there, it's time for us to get active, game with this Supreme Court decision about the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, I heard someone on TV say game is on for the 2016 presidential election, and it really is.
It's on. It is on.
And it starts with getting people elected in the Congress and the Senate.
That's right.
Because I don't really know if I trust members of Congress, the Congress being controlled by the Republicans.
Uh-huh.
Don't know if I really trust them to approve the Voting Rights Act and without some trickery.
Yeah, trickery.
So I don't know if I really trust those guys.
I think we might have a caller on the line. I don't know. I thought I saw Tayona or no. Okay. Anyway, I should say too, Eric, that I did an interview with Rosa Parks.
Right.
It was a one-on-one, and that was arranged by Gus when Rosa Parks was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an artist in Montclair, New Jersey, Don Miller,
mm-hmm.
Who a lot of people in New Jersey, in Montclair know of. He did the whole mural of the Martin Luther King March on Washington, and so many people. It was just a huge mural. That mural that Don Miller did on Martin Luther King's, an entree into the civil rights scene, including the March on Washington, was made into a huge mural, which is now hanging in the library, in Washington, D.C. And I've recommended, I was doing this last year, recommended it to all educators to take their children, take their students on a trip to Washington, D.C. to see this magnificent mural. It is huge. It is absolutely huge. And it was done by a well-known artist, Don Miller, who passed some years ago. So
what was it like interviewing Rosa Parks?
Oh, it was fast. First of all, I had the opportunity to interview Nelson Mandela when he came to Harlem, because LIB, we were covering that along when Gus was covering it over there, and everybody was covering it. And I was so overwhelmed by the fact that he had been in jail because he refused to, Anyway, he's and now he's very ill.
And prayers go out to him and his family.
Yeah, his family. Yeah, he's very ill now. And I couldn't talk for the first question because we were over at the Apollo Theater. And it was Gary Bird and Mark Riley and myself. And the three of us were allowed, I think, two questions each. And, of course, they chose me as the first one, being the woman on the panel. And I was like, I just couldn't talk. So Gary took that over. And then Mark. And then I was able to ask a question. But I was overwhelmed by the fact that this man was in jail, because of the fact that, he refused to, It's really very emotional. And now here today, he's, and I'd like to say personally thanks to Peter Noel, because I was also doing the educational program in the East Orange school system at the same time I was on LIV. And Peter Noel was going to, covering for the Village Voice, the first democratic election in South Africa. And so I maneuvered with Peter. I said, if you go, will you please call it into this one school that where I'll be? And he did.
Right.
So these kids at East Orange for this electronic media development for learning program at Prospect Hill Country Day School, they were able to hear from people going to vote in the first democratic election
in
South Africa.
That's incredible.
So
I think we have it's time for us to take another break.
Yeah.
And we want you to stay with us and come right back. We'll be back talking about more of these past interviews that my mom has done that are of great historical value.
Yeah.
But we'll be right back.
And the number is 323-679-0906. 323-679-0906.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
Okay. Okay, we're back.
So you have
the Rosa Parks. Yeah.
How was it talking to Rosa Parks?
She was very mild. She was in New York. Okay, and I don't know whether she was on LIB. I met her over there. And I know she had come to the station, And I knew that she was going to be, I wanted to do an interview. And so Gus had arranged that. He was responsible for sending a car for her that brought her to Don Miller's studio. And she sat in front of this mural while the two of us talked. And it's a 20-minute interview that I'm going to make available. But she was a very soft-spoken woman. But you can see women who are soft-spoken, but they know what they're going to do.
Right.
There's a certain look that, it's not if you mess with me kind of look. It's just very calm, knowing that they're going to get you one of these days.
I see.
But it was really very interesting. I really, really enjoyed that because I felt like I was in the presence of greatness, and I felt like I really was. And then, let me see, who else did I do there? Oh, I interviewed somebody by the name of Eric Payne when he was doing his school days interview. Dennis and
We don't really need to go in that, but you have a great deal of shows. Let's talk about if we can move into the area. I mean, we have there's a great number of shows that we're gonna make available to people that might be concerned about. It's always good. I don't know about a lot of people But I like to watch a lot of old shows, a lot of old interviews. Mm-hmm. I was watching, fortunately, on YouTube, some old interviews with Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because every once in a while, you need a Malcolm X minute. And certainly within the last couple of days. But, you know, it always helps to understand where things are in history, because you can kind of see where things are going.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare said, what's past is prologue. So, you know, it kind of gives you an assessment of how things might play out in history. So we need to really pay attention to things that are going on nowadays because people have an agenda. And so when you see these historical items, historical interviews that you did years ago, it can give people a kind of perspective about things that were going on then and give you a ways to see the similarities about things 10-20 years ago that are similar with things going on today.
One other thing I forgot to tell you about, along with the whole list of other things, is I have an interview with Judy Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Judy Simmons was, I think she might have been maybe the first female on WLIB. I'm not really sure about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd have to dig for that. But Judy was a good friend of mine. I have a one-on-one interview with her when I was doing New Jersey press conference. And then also now, the thing that I'm really very particular about were or was or is my interviews with Dr. Yosef Ben-Yekin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I had to pronounce his name, and I think he is still alive, and I think he's,
a great, great black historian.
Yeah. And so I had Dr. Ben on with Dr. Clark, with Dr. Van Sertimer, and then with Dr. Len Gunther, who is Dr. Ben's nephew.
Right.
So the four of them on the same show in a part one and a part two.
Wow.
And you can imagine, you know, Dr. Vernon Sertimer was talking about, you know, how Africans did, you know, so many things with the smelting of iron and doing this and, you know, the mechanical things and whatnot. And Dr. Ben, talked about the evolution of man, okay? And Dr. Clark then picked it up from there, you know, talking about, you know, where man came from and how the man evolved, and they both talked about Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there was so much information that I got from them.
Right.
That it's amazing. So I have a part one and part two, which we're going to make available.
Right.
Very shortly.
And talking about those days of WLIB, you know, that's a good segue. You should go out and pick up Disappearing Voices.
Yes.
The Decline of Black Radio, which is a great film. Documentary done by Black Wax Moving Images.
Ty Washington.
And it talks about the disappearance of black radio, the very important black radio. And it talks about how black radio began to disappear those years ago. And it's something that everybody should see. This is what I'm talking about knowing your history.
Yeah, and you can get that. You can get that right
here
at Black Wax.
Black Wax, that's right.
The Disappearing Voices, the Decline of Black Radio.
Mm-hmm.
The person that put this together is Ty Washington, and it says that with an in-depth exploration of why black radio is failing and some people's solutions. Director Eusebio Washington delivers a dynamic, gritty, controversial, inspirational, and analytical documentary film. Disappearing Voices is a must-have for historians and aficionados of broadcasting, entertainment, and politics. So you have to, you can call, I did it again.
Yeah,
all right,
that's
I hit the mic. You know, so don't even write me a note because I got it already. I got that.
So as much as I don't want to talk about, you know, there's a lot of things. The president is in Africa, by the way. President Obama is visiting Africa. Hopefully, he'll be able to see Mr. Mandela. And you know, a lot of people were making a big deal about him visiting Africa and the amount of the money that it would cost. And you know, many people are just hateful of this president. I don't understand why. I suppose I do understand why, because they're hateful people, and they seem to hate everything he does, even if it does help them out. And they seem to forget the devastating presidency of George Bush and how he left the nation. And and it's just, I keep talking about this because it's our time now. Those people that might be around my age, around 50 something, it is our time now to stand up. I know we've been standing up, but we really need to be vigilant because they're trying to dismantle things that the previous generation fought for. And it's not a post-racial America. It's a very much still a very racist America.
Yeah.
It's my opinion. And I'm just going by what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have people talking about whether so-and-so said the N-word and whether it's okay. And, you know, I really didn't pay attention to the story about the cooking lady because, my, what a shock. A Southern white,
that,
a Southern white woman calling using those words. So that's a smokescreen.
Yeah.
It's a distraction about what's really going on. You know, and the fact that people are trying to dismantle the rights of the average person. There are people that don't want everybody to vote. And what they feel is that they only want a minority.
Should you spell that Republican?
Of the population. I don't, you know, it might be them, might be even more conservative people. But I kind of, you know, South Africa, pre-Nelson Mandela came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
How a dwindling majority that's going to soon become a minority is trying to figure out a way that they can control the majority.
Yeah.
And dismantling people's rights and taking away these rights step by step. And this is stuff that they've been doing for the past 20 years and longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly they take away people's rights and make it, you know, making people harder to vote. They don't want certain types of immigrants to come into this country while other types probably don't have a problem. And so as they try to do that, it's incumbent upon us to pay close attention to what's going on and to make sure that we are aware of what's going on and take the necessary steps to counteract that.
Would you suggest, for instance, if now you're talking to a certain group of people, and for instance, younger people, how would you suggest that they, you know, do this? How should they become more aware, more interested, more involved, you know, in what's going on around them?
I would suggest learning about the process, learning how government works, learning how the laws work so you can protect yourself. And so when you get stopped, which is probably an experience that a lot of African Americans and Latinos have, when you get stopped, you know your rights. But also, you know, just because you know your rights and the person stopping you, if they're a police, you know, I'm not anti-police. I'm not anti. There's just certain individuals that occupy that job that abuse people. I don't think it's all police officers, but there are some, maybe a lot, that are, you know, they've been racist in their approach. And so they shouldn't be doing those things, but they do.
Mm.
So bottom line is you have to protect yourself and comply where it's necessary, but know your rights also. And that's not to mean that you be belligerent or whatever, but in certain circumstances, it's necessary to survive that instance.
Yeah.
It's necessary to survive that instance so you get out of there, and then you address the problem later on. You got to get involved in the process. You got to get involved in politics. You got to get involved in economics and making money and becoming business people, because
That's
a lot
key.
Of power comes
That's
from that.
Key, yeah.
So I'm told it's time for a break. You want to mention our sponsors again really quickly, Ma?
Sure. On the Move Sounds, inspired by Mamia Abu-Jimbal. He's still in jail, so this sponsor is On the Move Sounds, and they're inspired by Mamia Abu-Jimbal. Also, go to the homepage and click on the donate button on the homepage, which is GoPro Radio.
GoPro Radio Network.
Yeah.
And let them know that you're supporting the Kay Thompson Show via that donation.
Donate button.
We've got to go to a break.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking.
Should we go to a break? We're breaking.
Right, you're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Radio Network is proud to present our newest show, Food Wrap, hosted by food enthusiasts Nina Markal and Shauna Glover. Together, they will chew the cud, so to speak, and take you on a mouth-watering journey to whet your appetite. They'll spill the beans on the latest food trends, beef up on food facts, and share their own discoveries. They'll also have special guest experts and feature piping hot segments like Strange But Food and Chop It Up. So tune in on Saturday, June 1st at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the premiere of Food Wrap and your food fix in. Why? Because, well, talk never tasted so good. That's Food Wrap, only on the GoPro Radio Network at www.goproradio.com.
And we are back. We are back. Kate Thompson live here on GoPro Radio. And I'm going to mention a couple more, the DVDs that we're going to, probably put out there. Rap Attack, we're going to be talking about some of the early rappers. I also want to mention Dr. Y.T. Walker. A lot of people, don't know of Reverend Y.T. Walker. Mm-hmm. He was Martin Luther King's right-hand man. He was the one that was like the advance guard.
Mm-hmm.
Would go into certain areas,
mm-hmm.
and set up things and whatnot. And I had a really great interview with him, but I did it at his home in New York. I forget, he's
Reverend Y.T. Walker.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like you said, are not familiar with him. I happened to, when I was having my Malcolm X night, it wasn't just a minute, it was a whole night. I was looking at clips of Malcolm X, and he was in a discussion that there was a young Y.T. Walker.
Mm-hmm.
But, and a lot of people don't know who he is. He's not as popular as
Canaan
Dr. King.
Canaan Baptist Church.
But here's the thing. And talk about, he took a photograph, which is an iconic photograph in history that you said that he took.
Yeah, told me
about. And which photograph is that? Talk about that briefly.
Okay. That photograph is taken of Dr. King behind the bars in
jail.
You
know the picture, the historic picture that everybody sees of Dr. King when he was locked up in jail. I forget which jail it was.
Yeah, in the south somewhere.
In the south somewhere, but it's the one where he's looking out the cell. And clearly was taken by someone who was in the
inside,
cell with him.
Yeah.
And you talk about...
And I'm the person who knows who was that.
And talk about how he got that picture.
Yeah, and he told me. And it is on DVD.
Okay.
And I have it. And I'm going to be making that available also.
Right.
I really admired Y.T. Walker. He's also an author.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a number of books out.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful person to interview. Mm-hmm. I know he may be ill now. I think he's in the South somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, you remember that? He had that picture. I said, it's a wonderful picture. He said, I took that picture. I said, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to know who the photographer was.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he was. I said, really?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's of inside of the jail.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how did you do that? And he said to me, he told me how
mm-hmm.
he did it. I have this on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I put it in an area where there is an orifice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm not going to reveal that.
Well, that's pretty revealing right there.
Yeah, okay, all right. And I said, well, how did you do that?
Let your imaginations run wild, everybody.
But who got the group that gave him that, very small camera?
Mm.
That's the key, that's on that DVD.
So we're going to promo that, and you're going to go to Kate Thompson Live Facebook page and let us know that if you're interested in a lot of these historic interviews and things like that, that you can really learn a lot about your history.
Yeah.
So we want you definitely to go and check those things out.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about when Malcolm X came to New Jersey, and you and Dad, my father, met him. And you went to see him speak. And what was that experience like?
Very moving and very powerful. Let me see, Malcolm. Not Malcolm so much as what Martin Luther King.
Right.
Yeah, Martin Luther King. I'm trying to think.
But you did go to see Malcolm X with, and you talk about the story when my father, Dad was talking to Malcolm X, and he was talking to him in a kind of a debate with him, and they kept talking and walking, and kind of the bodyguard surrounded both of them, and they started walking away, right? And it was because because he was threatening Malcolm. It's just that they were getting ready to leave.
Yeah,
so they kind of encircled both of them as Malcolm was continuing having this conversation, right?
I had forgotten about that.
And what did you think? You thought that they were going to snatch him up? Or?
Maybe I was saying good.
I see.
But I do remember the time that we talked to Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very, very moving. Mm-hmm. I also remember being on the air. Not on the air. This was what happened to this young man. Was pre me going on the air. I just remember it happening.
Mm-hmm.
When I was very young, Emmett Till.
Oh, yeah, that's way before you were on the air. Yeah, that's devastating. We have just about 2 minutes left towards the end of the show. It's gone that fast.
Really, yeah.
And once again, we want to remind people that our sponsor has been On The Move Sounds. Thanks for moving that. Make it a little harder for me to read. I like it. On The Move Sounds, inspired by Mumia Abdul-Jamal. And you can go to the homepage of GoProRadio.com. And click on the donate button to support the GoPro Radio Network movement. This is a movement, y'all. This is a revolution. And listen to the voices in your head and mention that your donation via the Kay Thompson Show. You know, a lot of things in the news lately.
Yeah.
Happy that gay Americans had that victory today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they can get married. You know, people talk about what's right for you. Oh, we got to cut it off.
Yeah. I will be down at New York Museum, by the way, because Belafonte. No, I don't think it's that next week or something. Belafonte, the story of Miss Gus with Belafonte.
We'll talk about that soon. And it's time to go. Thank you for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show.
Make sure you listen next week. We have some surprises coming up. Kay Thompson Live here. Join us again.